Pop quiz. Why is there a boat on every delicious Tillamook dairy product? That's right. Our founding farmers built a boat because it was the only way to share their dairy with the world. How did you know that? Tillamook. Extraordinary dairy.
Off the Ball Daily,
a home for your favourite podcasts from Off the Ball.
I wouldn't do that because that would be in the
Why can't I say naughties?
Because that's too vague.
And again,
he just said 80s.
Quizmaster discretion.
Subscribe to the Off the Ball Daily podcast feed right now.
Hello and welcome to the Koi Gig podcast. The WSL is back, and so are we. Well, I was back a little bit last week because we had some great interviews with Carter Ward and Kelly Cates. But we're back with our normal crowd. We have Karen Duggan and Scarlett Heron to look back on the weekend's WSL action, with the game last night probably being the most entertaining of the lot. We don't have Jamie sadly this week, but in good news from her, it's because she is back over in Birmingham, back with the squad. So that's brilliant. And she'll still be popping in and out of the pod every so often. We're just giving her a little bit of time to settle back into things and get back into the way of normal football routine. Karen and Scarlett, you're very welcome to the podcast. How are things?
You're good. Can I complain? Well, I could complain because it's Blue Monday, but I won't. There's enough of that going around.
Yeah, we had this thing in work today where the Ian Dempsey show was trying to inspire everyone to, like, employers to give their employees a half day, and then the company were like, well, we can't really tell other people to do this and not tell our own staff, so we kind of got a half day today. I did not take mine today because I just had too much on, but
I was gonna say, says you as you record at 5:15 in the
evening. Well, that was part of it as well. I was like, there's not much point in taking the half day and then having to record this, because obviously this is such hard work and really, really impacts my schedule. Karen, haven't chatted to you since the news that Carla Ward is the new women's team manager. Happy with that?
Yeah, I am. Obviously, the circumstances that surrounded it, us not qualifying for the Euros and then the Colin Healy stuff, has put a bit of a dampener on what I think is pretty good news. I think a lot of the criticism we had around Eileen was her CV. Was she ready for a role of this magnitude? Carla Ward comes with that experience of having been in the WSL. And I liked that she was kind of honest in that this suits her. You know, the international setup suits her. She left, you know, the WSL because family commitments and stuff like that, and reprioritizing in that way. And I think that that's refreshing, that we know that it's not like she grew up wanting this job, but it suits her. She's a good manager. She has ambition. She wants to do it at the top level, but the schedule of this suits her. And then, like, I think that it's okay to be honest about these things. Like, we had Colin Bell come in, say this is the best thing ever, and then as soon as a men's job came along, he was out the gap. And then we had Eileen, who we kind of picked because we thought, you know, knows Irish football inside out, and then that'll do the job. And those kind of things aren't really what we need. We need a really, really good, strong coach. She seems to be that. She's got a good backroom staff with her as well. It'll be interesting to see. I think, you know, my thoughts on it around, she's got a 2-year contract, and I suppose you can't give anyone any bigger than that because you don't know how it's going to go. It could be a disaster, it could be good. But for me, it's a 4-year project, 4-year plan. So I like that she spoke about getting to know the Irish League and stuff like that. And hopefully she'll be keeping an eye on our underage international teams. The 19s are in camp at the moment. So there's a big job in her hands to kind of get them to know that side of football. But I feel like she's the type of person who can take that on. Obviously, time will tell, but hopefully she's allowed kind of a bit of reprieve. Obviously, she said that the World Cup was her ambitions, but for me, it should be the Euros again. So hopefully she's involved in that development and they see positives on that path enough that even if we don't make a World Cup, that we could get some consistency in the role and keep her kind of long term with that in mind.
Scarlett, we heard her say last week when I chatted to her to expect a new style of play from this team that they're not used to. What? I love Karen's face. I knew that was going to be your face when I said this. What do you think we can expect from her on a footballing side?
I don't know. I was looking back on her stint at Villa and sort of their style of play and their sort of how she tactically went about it. And it's a lot of switching of formation. So obviously, we've kind of had that with the national team for a few years, just to do whatever opposition you're playing, 5 at the back, 4 at the back. So she kind of tried the like a fella, but she's like a 4-3. But I actually was looking at her results and like she did really well. A few really big results, like beating Arsenal and stuff. And I think there was another game against Arsenal where it was like they scored like 2 90-plus minute goals to lose they lost the game anyway. But really positive, I think, as a sign-in for the national team. Like, and even as you're saying, Karen was talking about the development of players in the league here. She even said that she's going to come into clubs and stuff, which is great. Like, and sort of to have that link with the league here into the national team, and even if that's just developing players, it's brilliant. So yeah, I'm not sure what she means by that, but I'm excited to see what she does mean. Hopefully, a bit more expansive. Hopefully, a few players can get to express themselves a bit more. And yeah, I mean, we can only go up from here.
Hopefully, anyways.
Yeah, as a like a style of play, I don't know if about a different style of play, but I think maybe just breaking out of, our back five kind of ethos that we've stuck to for a long, long time now might be a starting point. Obviously, you have to fit the system to the players that you have. So it'd be interesting to see who she brings in terms of promoting from the youth system and kind of what contacts she has built herself in the WSL. If she's gotten a good reputation amongst the players in the WSL, it might pique some players who, again, who are qualifying through the granny rule. It's not my favorite way of going about development, but it's something that you can't leave untapped if you do have that avenue to go down. And I'm sure that she'll be emptying her contact list where she can to hit the ground running. But I think she'll probably stick with things as they are for the first friendly and give herself some time to kind of get to know who's in the wider talent pool.
Hate to tell you this,
It's
Karen,
quite
but it's not
soon,
a
isn't
friendly.
it?
It's still
Oh,
Nations
yeah.
League.
Ah, it is. It is till it isn't.
Yeah, well, she did actually say that she has already been looking at that in the US and in England in terms of players who might qualify under the granny rule. And Joelle did in camp with the MAAs and the US Women's National Team. So, if she wants to steal one or two of their players, that's totally fine on our side. But yeah, if we could rediscover another Sinead Farrelly or something, that would be quite nice.
Maybe a bit sooner than the last season of her career.
That would also probably be nice. So that game against Turkey is the first one in the Nations League. That's in February. Tickets are on sale for that now. If you want to go, it's in Tala. And then if you fancy a trip to Slovenia, they're off to Koper after that. So I somehow don't think many of us will be making that trek. I had a look at flights and they were quite expensive, unfortunately. But yeah, Karen, do you think then these games are just going to be her settling with the team settling with her, kind of working each other out?
Yeah, I mean, we saw it with Eileen. Eileen did a great job in terms of bringing the team together and bringing that kind of, just that camaraderie and that spirit that they needed to get back. This is going to be, again, there'll be an element of that because people will be worried and stuff. New manager coming in, what's your style? How are they going to react? So they'll be feeling each other out for the first few. The good thing is that they're playing against teams that they should beat. And again, there's a feel of good factor that comes with that. It's easier to buy in and build a trust when you're winning games and there's less things to give out about off the bat. So we hope that they hit the ground running and the girls react well to her and we can get those results and then from there kind of use that as a launch pad into something bigger. Look, I think we just need to wish her the best of luck. Again, it was just another week where something should have been great and it felt a little bit heavy because of what happened with Colin Healy and someone who in the football community who's so highly regarded and deserved maybe more respect. Obviously there's two sides to the story. But if we look at it as a standalone thing, back to your original question, yes, we're happy with this appointment.
Yes. If you do want
Yes.
to hear what happened at that press conference where Carla wasn't really asked any questions, so it was very good that we got the one-on-one with her. The full press conference is up on Off the Ball's YouTube, so you can see the FAI sides to things as well as the Colin Healy side, which has obviously been quite widely published as well. Scarlett, I feel the mental side of things is going to be the big one for Carla coming in initially, because you have that failure to qualify. You have all the international retirements, which actually we haven't even mentioned those. Darren Caldwell and Niamh Fahey have both announced their international retirement. It was a really good interview on Off the Ball with Niamh, where we surprised her with Denise and Louise, and it was just a very nice moment for all involved. So definitely do catch that back if you haven't already. And then you have things like we found out over the weekend that Lily Ag had done her ACL as well. So obviously someone who's in the team quite a lot. So this the bad things are piling up a little bit.
Yeah, I think we spoke about this after the game against Wales. When we didn't qualify, it was sort of talking about that this is going to be a transitional phase for Ireland, and I think we need to expect that and maybe expect a few more retirements, if not soon enough, then in the coming year or 18 months. So yeah, I think it's a chance, as we were talking about, like these offer opportunities for other players in the squad, and I think a new manager as well. It's going to be challenging for her to come in. Obviously, that's a team whose dreams just got ripped to shreds a few weeks ago, so it'll be very difficult for her to come in and sort of get everyone like excited again for the nation's sake, especially for a tournament like that where it's kind of, as we're saying, like it doesn't matter, does it not? It's all up in the air. So, yeah, I think it'll be challenging for her, but I think that team of players, it's sort of the Irish way. Everyone's going to be up for it. Everyone's going to be very competitive because it's obviously competition for places, competition for the squad. Carla Ward's going to want to try new things, bring in new players, and it'll kind of reinstate that idea that no one's spot is safe. So I know we had sort of, you kind of predict most of the team by the end of Eileen's tenure, but I think now if Carla's going to do it a different way, then you're looking at switching out a few players, and then, as I said, no one's place is safe. So I think that's a good thing to keep that competitiveness in the squad, even though it's Nations League games, players will still be fighting there for their position. And as I said, they're weaker opposition, if you want to call them that. So hopefully get good results and get that bit of feel good factor back in the squad.
Yeah, because they do still have to win. Like, we do, it would be a bit ridiculous to not qualify top of our group as we hoped to do. So we can't totally rest on our laurels with that one. Okay, so overall positive vibes, which is good. Not always how we have been over the last couple of weeks when it comes to the team, unfortunately. So that is nice. I think we'll turn our attention to the WSL now, Scarlett. Despite being over watching Man City absolutely hammering Ipswich in the Premier League, you managed to very kindly pull together a team of the week for us.
Yeah, so this team of the week was compiled in Stansted Airport this morning at about 6 o'clock. So I actually caught the full City United game last night, so I got the best game of the lot, which was nice. But anyway, yeah, so we have Courtney Brosnan in goal, who is probably the outstanding player of the week, if not Ella Toon. Two centre halves, Molly Bartip and Leah Williamson. Left back, Katie McCabe. Right back, Noelle Moritz. Four in midfield, sort of like a diamond in midfield. Erin Cuthbert, Marina Callandé, Ella Toon, Agnes Beaver-Jones, and then Elizabeth Terland and Alessia Russo as two strikers. So we're kind of going diamond, two up front, four at the back. Very Galway United-esque for anyone who watches the Women's National League closely.
Karen, what did you think of this team?
Yeah, I mean it's bang on. It's always hard to kind of pick out the best players of the
I
top
have a few honorable
teams
mentions as well.
when,
Yeah.
you know, Chelsea run riot, Arsenal run riot. But I think obviously you're looking at Williamson, she scored there. McCabe, because she had a couple of assists. Caldente got her a couple of goals. Yeah, it's interesting as well because say the two up top with you'd think with big score lines like that that the two up top would be someone who was prolific at the weekend, but I think you've gone for Elizabeth Terland and Russo. Yeah, Russo got one, but I think it was more so their contribution to the overall team play that impressed me. Their pressing. For me, Russo's kind of in the last couple of months has started to impress me more and more in her general play, her linking of the play. I think because of how kind of fluid or how much rotation Arsenal have kind of liked in those top areas. She finds herself in different positions and I think she's linking the player really well and she doesn't have to be the out and out nine, which gives them extra options. So thought she was really good. Yeah, really, really good team. Can't have any complaints. Like you said, the two standout players for the weekend are Courtney Brosnan and Ella Toon. I'm sure we'll talk more about them when we get into the nitty-gritty of the games. But two people you'd just be delighted for as well. Although Everton, of course, you'd want to see them kind of getting 3 points for Courtney's efforts, but every point is really, really counting for them at this point, especially when you saw the way that Leicester went down this week, the way that they drop points. It's those such fine margins between them. And to score an 89th minute goal, I think Everton will be happy enough to take that. And it has 90% to do with how Courtney Brosnan performed.
Yeah, her stats out of that game are absolutely insane. And Scarlett, like as Karma's pointed out there, it's really nice to see Ella Toon kind of refinding some form.
Yeah, I think like she got great goals from sort of that press that we spoke about a few weeks ago, that United press, and it really came to the sort of forefront last night. It was two or three goals they got just purely from putting City under pressure. And a team like City, who's so good at sort of usually playing out and passages of play, keeping possession, we're just all over the place. But we'll get into that, I suppose. But yeah, great for her on a personal level as well. And obviously Skinner after the game praising her and saying it's I just want her to enjoy her football again. And I think that's what we seen last night. Obviously, like so passionate to play for Man United, which is kind of what you want to see as a United fan. And yeah, it's great for obviously great for her confidence as well. And United go third, tied with Arsenal, so it's a good week to be a United fan. Well, not for the
It
men's.
is. Well, we don't follow them anymore.
They're gone.
The worst team, worst Manchester United team ever, including the women's. Yeah.
Well, sure, why don't we look at the women's win to make you a bit happier, Karen? A 4-2 result last night. Absolutely insane game. I mean, United look like they were City for most of it. And as you say, Scarlett, it's massive for the table. Kind of funny how we spent a lot of the season talking about Arsenal and then failing, and now City are in fourth, and it kind of seems to have almost creeped up on them a little bit.
Okay. Yeah, I think we spoke about the press and all a few weeks ago, and I think City obviously missing so many big names. Obviously with Shaw out, Greenwood, Hemp, like they're three guaranteed starters, and kind of that's that core of the team that obviously you have Hemp and Shaw who linked up so much before Christmas, and obviously they're such a big blow. I think actually Nat came in and did really, really well. Obviously she just moved in the window, and I think she's a great signing considering that Greenwood injury. And then Alexandre as well took the armband, but I think they were really shaky. Obviously, Ciara Keaton's not going to want to watch that game back, but I do. You obviously feel sorry for because I think after that goal goes in, your head kind of goes. But yeah, just really wasn't didn't look like the Man City that we usually see. And United took full advantage of that. Now I will say that going 3-0 up and in the first half an hour and conceding twice then before half time for United is also quite unusual. Like that's only five goals they've conceded all year, and two of them were last night. And to be in that leading position, and then to go into half time only one goal lead is really dangerous against a team like City. Like I myself was thinking they're gonna let this slip now. City are gonna come out all guns blazing, and then obviously you get the goal in the first 30 seconds of the second half, and it was luck. I think if obviously on a different day, that halftime result going to the second half could be so different. But to be fair, United, like they did really, really well, worked really, really hard, and they caught City on an off day and they took advantage of it. So,
Yeah, they seem to be very happy to just sit back and like almost let City overwhelm them. I think City's possession for the game was something ridiculous, like 75%. And yet it was all Manchester United card. Anytime they looked the more comfortable.
yeah, and I think Skinner kind of said that obviously the concession of the two goals before halftime could cause panic, but they kind of said, oh, those were our mistakes. So, you know, it wasn't like they felt like they were being overwhelmed by Man City's quality in that time. And they weren't like, yeah, like you said, City had a lot of possession stats, but as Scarlett mentioned as well, United's defence has been pretty solid this season. The criticism that we've had of them in the bigger games is that they have been a little bit passive in an attacking sense in the big games. games, you know, we kind of were like, oh, they're doing okay, but then they'll concede one goal, and it was hard to see come back from that. Getting a foothold so early in this game was absolutely massive. And yes, a lot of it came from mistakes by Man City, but they weren't passive, you know, like Scarlett said, it was a storm and start. The press was really, really good. That was like even Terland coming back into midfield, getting a toe in here and there, you know. And there's it was good to see from them that there was an energy in an attacking sense from them. They didn't play with that much fear. City then obviously contributed to their own downfall. The fourth goal kind of, you know, it killed the game for them a little bit. And there's no need for it. Like, if you're going back to the keeper needs to be deeper. Or if you're going back to the keeper, then your full backs and your centre backs should be wide so that there's a shorter passing option. To go into that kind of no man's land that the keeper was in, where he could be closed down and not have a shorter passing option, it was so weird. I feel like it's not something they worked on and from the training ground, and it was just like a moment of madness. And that's what cost them in the end. And like I say, young keeper, you don't like to see it happen. But it is something that we spoke about, the difference in the top teams having a really, really good goalkeeper. And you just sometimes they're just looking at Courtney's performances and we're like, how is she at Everton? I suppose we're seeing a lot because she's a lot busier and stuff, but when you're looking at some of the errors that, you know, for years we spoke about it with Arsenal that they needed a change, and we're seeing a little bit with City in the last couple of seasons as well, and they kind of had changed their keeper up a good bit at the start of the season this year. And you don't want to put a young goalkeeper down, she will learn in time. It's just if they have ambitions of going to that next level, investing in a goalkeeper, I think, is part of it.
You tried to make the case for Courtney to City.
At some point, I think, obviously, if she could keep Everton up at some point, if an opportunity came along, why wouldn't she? Obviously, she's been very loyal to Everton. She's a huge part of their squad. But no, I'm not trying to make any case for anything. Courtney can do whatever she wants as long as she plays like that for the Ireland team. Wherever she's happy playing her football, that's good by me. But also in terms of keepers, like Fallon Toulouse Joyce had, you know, she had a lot of pressure on her coming in. Obviously, the Mary Earps kind of saga went on and on for a long time. She became kind of a poster girl for England and, you know, goalkeepers and selling jerseys and stuff like that. So it was like, oh, you know, it'll be in trouble without her and what'll happen. But I think she's been very, very good. She's been one of the top keepers in the league this season, and the United defence has been really good. So for me, she's been one of the unsung heroes for Man United. And also, Janssen. I wasn't sure what we'd get from her, whether she'd be a centre back or a centre mid, but she's kind of making things tick in there because she's solid. She's adding to the defensive solidity, and she's allowing the likes of Ella Toon and Grace Clinton to get into the positions where they can be most effective in attack. So hopefully we'll see a little bit more of that going forward as well. We like I say, United didn't invest big. They didn't get big, huge marquee signings, so they needed other people to step up. And I think that those are two people who've come in and done a really good job for them.
Do you think they can hold on to that third place spot?
I don't know. United have struggled with consistency, and at the start of the season, I thought Man City were phenomenal. I think their injuries has really hit them hard. Very hard to see it just with the quality that City have, but good position for them to be in now. I mean, that's the exciting race, really, isn't it? Champions League, who's getting the Champions League spot? Because unless Arsenal pull it out of the bag next Sunday against Chelsea, then ultimately I think that the league is over as a contest because Chelsea aren't slipping up anytime soon.
Yeah, United's final three games of the season are Chelsea, and then they play City, and then they play Arsenal. So that's
So
the
a
critical.
lot of teams would have to do a lot of slipping up before the last three games of the season for United to be in with a shout in that regard, I think. I think it will be your Chelsea, Arsenal, City in that order.
Yeah, well, I don't think anyone's catching Chelsea at this stage. A 5-0 win for them against West Ham, and a 5-0 win for Arsenal against Crystal Palace. Rene Seger is taking over officially as manager there. Scarlett, what did you think of the appointment of Rene full time?
Well, I think she kind of proved herself in the game she was given, and I don't think there was no need to go out and sort of get a big name manager when you had someone who knew the players like she did. And obviously when she came in, as I said, she did brilliantly and sort of seen Arsenal click for the first time in a while. So I think it was a great appointment and obviously great for her as well. And you're seeing it in these results now, like that's her first game, her first league game, obviously in full charge, and Arsenal were really flawless, I thought. Really, really good. Obviously, good to see Leah Williamson getting her first goal since coming back from her injury. And as we're talking about earlier, like Russo's in the form of her life, so she's getting the best, like I said, just getting the best out of the players that she has there. Obviously she knows them at this stage, so she can kind of know what's best for them, and she obviously knows what went wrong a few months ago under Jonas. So yeah, as far as I'm concerned, it's a great appointment. Obviously we'll see now for the rest of the season how they fare out, but I think it's really positive sign for Arsenal how they're getting on now.
What have you seen with
I think it was
Russo?
really telling.
Oh, sorry, go ahead, Kara.
Sorry, go ahead. I was just thinking it was really telling, like Leah Williamson's comment after the game that she was like, "Oh, it's a nice place to go to work." I don't know if that was a dig at the previous regime, but she was like that there's a feel good factor going to work, but also that she's driving standards there, and that's all you can ask for from a coach, really, because they have the talent in abundance. It's just about making a click. And like Scarlett says, I think she's managed to do that in her short stint as the number one there. So I hope it's not just a new manager bounce for her. Hopefully it's the start of a long term coaching career of getting another kind of high profile woman into a top job.
Yeah, that's one of the things that I enjoyed about it, the fact that it is another female coach in the WSL. And I don't know, like for so long Arsenal have just looked like a collection of units rather than like a cohesive one. And I think with her, we've definitely seen that. Also, you pointed out the Russo thing and how she is coming into form. Is that part of Slegers and her systems, or is it just that maybe she's finally found her feet?
I think it's more to do with how they're playing as a collective. I think Russo for me is always like she was at United. She's a real team player, but it's hard to do that in a team that looked so disjointed and didn't look as together as they were before. So I think the environment is probably suiting her more now. I think they're all playing with a little bit more freedom. They've made things click a bit. One of the big moves that she's kind of stuck with is putting Catley in the left side at centre back. And I think that's been really, really good for Arsenal as well because they have so much possession. They've got a really good ball playing centre back, and her position is also very good. She's aggressive and she's quick. So I think, and she has a decent understanding with Katie as well, allows Katie to get forward, get more assists. It's such a knock-on effect there. So I think that that's been a move that's paid dividends for them. And yeah, for Russo, I think it's just all around that they've raised their game and they're more fluid and they look similar to what we saw sometimes with the Irish team. They just look less heavy in themselves or look like they are just enjoying their football. And there's a lot to be said when you can just get things right in the dressing room. And it sounded like that was a bit of the issue with Arsenal before, either between the management and the players, or players and other players. We don't really know the ins and outs of it, but if you can iron that out, and just like you said, they have so much quality that there wouldn't really be an excuse for them not being in the top two.
Yeah, definitely. Liverpool got very lucky in the first game of the weekend. It was a Carabalí own goal, which meant that they got the 2-1 win over Brighton. Emma Byrne, formerly of this parish, and obviously her wife Vicky Lozada, still playing in the league, had a funny Instagram story up about her dog was getting scared because she was cursing at the TV so much for this one, Karen.
Yeah, you can understand why. Brighton, they've been going so well and playing a lot of good football, and they shaded it in terms of kind of possession, but I thought Liverpool looked a little bit more dangerous in attack. I was actually gutted for Carabali because I thought she'd had a really, really good game for them. And you know, when someone has had a game like that, you just think, oh, she didn't deserve it. If it had gone the way of a draw, I think fair enough. But you saw from Matt Beard's reaction after the game, he was absolutely buzzing with that result. They acknowledged that, you know, the first half of the season wasn't what they expected from themselves. They've brought in a couple of reinforcements and their work rate was on point. And you see they had loads of bodies back, they won the ball back deep, and then they set Smith free and she just went for it for that opening goal. Just having someone with that much power and pace that can lead a line, particularly a team like Liverpool who are probably better on transition. Sometimes when they're playing up through the middle, you're not sure how that's going to go. But when they transition quickly, they look very dangerous. So to have an outlet like her, she fits right into that. And yeah, I think it's really good for them. I think Brighton will be a little bit disappointed just based on the teams around them that they now expect to beat because of how good their form has been. I think they would have been eyeing up Liverpool to have gotten a result there.
Scarlett, the other side of Liverpool, we've talked a little bit about it already, but Everton getting that draw against Aston Villa, and obviously Courtney's performance is the thing that we pulled out, but Everton managing to get that goal back in a way that they haven't really been able to do in the first half of the season.
Yeah, I mean we've talked about it loads about Everton sort of struggling for that out and out striker. Now, not that they have it now, but it's positive that Sarri can pop up with that goal, and it was a great strike as well. I think the first half, I think Villa were by far the better team. I don't think Everton were really together at all, or everything was breaking down, and it was really sloppy and just a bit passive from them. And then the second half, you could kind of see them getting more and more into the game and getting a bit of momentum. And obviously the goal, like if you're Villa, you're disappointed with obviously that result, but it's a great result for Everton, really, when the game was going the way it did. And obviously, Courtney in goal had an absolute stormer. It was 9 saves she made and some top drawer ones as well. And you'd kind of wonder, like, where would they be without her in the table? Like, it really would show. I think, like, talking about her move to a top club, like, I can't see a reason why she wouldn't. Like, she's just top, top class. But yeah. I think Villa were most dangerous sort of out wide in wide areas. Obviously a good header by Rachel Daly to put them ahead, but I think that was the only place where they could really hurt Everton. And then the second half, obviously Everton started getting more chances. But yeah, I think a good result for Everton and a really disappointing one for Villa. And then after the game, seeing
Yeah.
the Irish photo. I don't know if you've seen
Oh
that.
yeah, I saw that. Yeah,
Adam
Rachel from
and
Girls with the
Courtney
Ball
holding
had it
hands.
up.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just like I'm looking at that game and I'm looking at the table and Everton and Villa having the same amount of points in my head just isn't computing because we've been talking about Everton being quite poor and so many games we've been like oh, Villa played really well, played really nice football. They were unlucky not to pick up a result or it will come good for Villa because they have the players. And yeah, I just can't really get my head around it. I think Villa, in terms of conceding goals, that's where they're letting themselves down a bit. Like Leon looks really lively when you have her, Daly, and Daly on the pitch. You always feel like they have a chance of winning a game, but they need to stop letting in just kind of lapses of concentrations here and there is costing them because you just looking at the game, you can see there was a gulf in talent between the two sides, and yet here they are both sitting on 10 points.
And Dali is gone now as well, so
Yeah.
they're not going to
Well,
come back, obviously.
yeah, that's an issue for them, all right. But they still have enough quality around the pitch and they still play nice enough football. It's just sometimes they're just leaving themselves a little exposed for that's just, I guess, a tactical thing.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Our final game of the weekend, Tottenham and Leicester. Tottenham scraping, crawling by Leicester in a game that was fairly big in terms of the relegation battle down the bottom of the table. Scarlett, this wasn't the easiest one to watch, I won't lie. After the goal 4 minutes in, it felt like it went on for an
Oh.
eternity.
No, it was a very dull game. Yeah, very dull affair. There's not much to say about it. Obviously, an unlucky own goal. Her goalkeeping error, where are you on it? I don't know. But I think it's a bit ironic. Obviously, Lizzie Kopp coming in for Spurs, who was Letzig's sort of second-hand woman. So obviously, for her to get the clean sheet and then for Letzig to make that mistake is, I don't know if it's good comedic timing or if it's ironic or what it is, but it was interesting anyway. Spurs didn't have a shot on target until, or a shot even, until the 74th minute. So that kind of just sums up the game. How they won, I don't know. I think Leicester were probably maybe deserved. They were deserving of a draw. I think I don't think that game deserved a winner really. But yeah, quite a boring affair. No real big chances apart from probably that came and absolute missed a sitter like early enough on for Brighton. So I think that was really the only turning point in the game. That was obviously that was their biggest chance by a long shot. So. Don't think there's much else to discuss for that game, just a bit of a waste of time nearly watching it.
If anyone is tempted to
Yeah,
watch back
stinker.
highlights, don't bother.
Honestly, I was looking back at the highlights today, and one of the highlights was someone closing someone down to make it, to get a throw in. Someone picked that out as a highlight
There was
to put in the highlights package.
another
I was
highlight.
like, oh Lord.
Another highlight was an offside. It was just played down the wing and someone was offside and it was in the highlights.
The poor
Shocking,
person who was
like,
trying to pull it together is probably just trying to fill time
oh,
because there was like nothing to
yeah,
show.
I know. Yeah, God, it's so funny.
Well, on that high note, Karen,
Brilliant.
thank you very much as always. The Coffee Gig Pod Off the Ball is brought to you by Cadbury, official snacking partner to the Republic of Ireland women's national team. We'll be back next week. Don't think I have any more surprises podcasts coming up, but you never know. Always keep an eye on your feed. And we have the big one next Sunday. Karen mentioned it early, Chelsea Arsenal. Just might be able to get a few points closer to Chelsea on their title run. But for now, we will leave you and thank you very much for listening.
Off the Ball Daily.
A home for your favorite podcasts from Off the Ball.
I wouldn't do that because that would be in the
So then why can't I say noughties?
Because that's too vague.
And again,
he just said 80s.
Quizmaster discretion.
Subscribe to the Off the Ball Daily podcast feed right now.